And so we are told that he makes all things new. And this idea of him, even within himself, being both lamb and lion, both high priest and sacrifice, both. Suggests to us an activity that he is so wanting to create and to accomplish in us. So what might that look like? If we really do embrace him as mediator in all that happens, in all of our life, that he stands between each of us individually and whatever else is going on, whoever else is in our life, we pass through him, or it passes through him. Then what that looks like is whatever difficulty or crisis you're going through. If you, instead of carrying the weight of that burden on your shoulders, praying, Lord, help me. Help me get through this. Give me the right attitude. Lord, give me the faith. And I truly do see him as the one who is the transformer, the reconciler here, the yeast hidden. And I give whatever this burden is to him. By faith, trusting he will transform it. He will change it. He will bring his fire to it. Then I can, but knowing that it'll probably be hidden, a hidden work for a while. And it's not, and I'm not trying to get in my own mind how that's going to look. I mean, that will never work, folks. Just, you know, from personal experience, how I thought it would look, whatever the it was that God was going to do, has never, ever, ever looked the way I thought it was going to look. So don't go there. Learn from my mistakes, my years of trying to figure God out. It won't look the way you think it will look. He transformed the cross, but it didn't look the way the disciples thought it would look. Peter's night of bitter weeping was transformed into a night of renewed dreams and hopes on the Sea of Gennesaret. But it didn't look the way Peter wanted it to look. Peter didn't want the night of bitter weeping. He would have opted out of that evening. But what that evening was about was transforming Peter's failures into the very thing, the very base ingredient that Christ needed for his purposes to be fulfilled in Peter's life. You see, this transformational being who mediates and reconciles all the opposing elements into one, transforms our failures into success, transforms our failures, takes them and rewads them and remolds and refashions them into exactly what he needed to do in your life what he chooses to do, what you are destined to become. He takes our weaknesses and transforms them into his strength. 2 Corinthians 12. When I am weak, then I am strong. And it is in my weakness, Paul says, that God's power is perfected and completed. Therefore, I glory in my weaknesses. You see, that is this reconciling, transformational being taking the worst of us in making it into the best of us. So it means that you and I do not have to wallow in our failures. That means that the minute we confess, our sin has been transformed into righteousness. Woohoo! That is mind-boggling. But that's what this mediating, reconciling, transformational God is about in you. He transforms our sin into righteousness if we confess it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and what else? To cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What He requires of you and me is the faith and the contrition or humility to confess. The minute I acknowledge my sin is transformed into righteousness. My weakness becomes His power. The minute I realize, Lord, I can't do this. You know, I can't love that person. Or I don't even know if I can even bear up under what is going on in my family. You and I don't have to. If we can take what is going on in family or going on in whatever, in financial circumstances or other relational circumstances, and in prayer see ourselves truly giving that to God, in the faith that when He takes it, the yeast begins to rise. The yeast begins to work. And you walk by faith, not seeing any results for a while, maybe. But you walk by faith knowing He is making all things new. That newness won't look the way we would script it. But he has the capacity to transform what is going on either in me or in the circumstances or in the other person. And He'll rewire it in some fashion so that down the road, and it may be a year or two or three down the road, you can see redemption of some sort, that this fire, this oven, this holy oven, has baked up something new. And it may be in you. It may be in your faith. But it may be also in redemption in the other person. So there's a real practical thing here. If we catch this, it frees us. It frees us from groaning under the weight of great issues in our lives. It doesn't mean that we still don't have grief about them. What it means is found in 2 Corinthians 4. We'll go back to that. It doesn't mean freedom from so much as it means freedom within. In 2 Corinthians 4, I'll start with verse 5 as lead-in. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. You know, he has entered into the darkness of our own soul. And His light doesn't shine from a distance on us like a spotlight or like a flashlight. His light goes into our heart and then shines forth from our heart out. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When we are weak, He is strong. We are, and here is the nature of our journey here. We're not freed from the struggles, but seeing Christ as this transforming yeast in our lives, hidden in our lives. Working to transform water into wine, as surely as he transformed wine into blood, bread into flesh. That kind of power now receives your burdens, if by faith you give them to him. If by faith you really realize he can do this, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to be destroyed in the burden of that worry. The struggle is still there in some fashion, but not in the same way. Look what it says here. In verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Okay, the trouble is still there, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, confused, baffled. We walk in a fog. We will still walk in a fog. It's just the fog of faith. There's a fog of war and there's a fog of faith. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This transformational servant of ours that lives in us as king does not remove us from the human experience. Does not remove us from earth's winds. He prayed in John 17, I pray not that you remove them from this world, not that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them in it and safe from the evil one. So the storms are still going to blow in our lives. The winds are going to be contrary winds. Often in this world, you will have tribulation, John 16, 33. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Not, I have ferreted you out and removed you from it, and you're now in an ivory tower, cloistered away from all pain and suffering. Not that. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'm with you as overcomer. Give to me the things you cannot carry. Give to me the things that weigh you down. And let me put them in the oven of my own will and my own purposes. And bake up a new loaf. Create something new here. Trust me on that. And if we do trust him on that, he doesn't take away these points of struggle, of burden, of fear and anxiety in the sense of events that are going on in your life or in your family's life or in your financial circumstances. He doesn't necessarily take those away, but he works in the hidden recesses of your loved ones, of those circumstances, to create something new, to bring two opposing forces together into a new loaf, to work something very redemptive out of something very difficult and very painful. So you'll be cast down at times, but not destroyed. You'll be perplexed, but not in despair. He still allows our humanity to be upon us. He affirms the human journey. But he does it with a divine yeast tucked away in that humanity of ours, creating something supernatural, something extraordinary. If we will have the faith to give to him that burden, that treasure, and know he will do something with it. He'll mediate it. He'll reconcile. He'll transform something here. Here's the dough. We all have plenty of dough going on in our lives. None of us has an oven that will transform that dough into what it needs to be. Only the Lord does. And it is by faith that you and I can take these things in our lives and trust him with it and wait until the hidden yeast shows itself in a finished product, in something new. Let's pray. I ask that you just think for a moment of those things in your life that weigh you down and burden you. Can you see Christ as mediator standing between you and it? Can you see him as transformer? And by faith, offer to him that struggle, that burden, knowing that you'll still feel some weight here of it, some upset here with it, but undergirding that, you can know that he is at work in hidden ways. And he will mediate and reconcile and transform what is needful if you walk faithful in him to that hope. Take a moment, perhaps, to give whatever that is to him in this way. So let him have it. Put it in his oven and bake it for a while. Father, thank you that you do not remove us, but you walk with us in this place. Thank you that you do not diminish the human experience in us, but show us how to be most fully alive in our humanity. Empower us to most fully celebrate our experience here. And to grow our faith so that we can believe in you as transformer, making all things new. Help us to give you those things that are needful of your yeast, that need to rise and be changed. Help us to have the faith to believe it is so. I pray these things in the name of Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Reconciler. Amen.